Today. And I want to get before God with you and talk about seasons and times. Which is the title, by the way, Seasons and Times. I'm looking at some things in my life at this point. And so I'm sitting at Seasons and Times, and had a conversation with my little brother not too long ago. I won't go into details, but I asked him about something that was dear to my heart, and his response was, yeah, it's a different time and a different season for you. You're in a different direction. You're heading in different, you know what I'm talking about, little brother, right? Said, so you're in a different place right now. You're in a different, you know, different atmosphere. You're somewhere else. And I was like, yeah. And God said, you need to ask him. You need to ask him what he thinks. And what he said, even though I knew, even though it had been confirmed out of the mouth of 30 witnesses, still, I just wanted to hear from my little brother. You know, just wanted to hear his thought sitting right there. So since that conversation and since last week, I've been really before God about, okay, what does new season mean? It's cute. You know, it's nice when you say it's a new season, it's a new time, things are different, you know. But then you start sitting down and you're listening to what I'm going to say to you right now. If you're smart, if you're intelligent, if you have any kind of God center, you start focusing on, you get past the excitement of it's a new season, it's a new day, fresh anointing coming your way. Yay. Okay. But what does it mean? Because now preparation kicks in. Because now you have to check to see if you're prepared, if you packed enough stuff. You know, it's just that moment that if I can give you a picture, when you're getting ready to take that vacation you've been dreaming of. And you've been packed and packed and packed, and you think you packed, but at the last minute you're still running around making sure, but I want to make sure I got this, I want to make sure I got that, I want to make sure I don't have the stove on. I want to make, you know, you're running around and you're trying at that last minute to gather up whatever is left, right? That season, you still want to make sure at that last moment you're prepared. So I begin to ask God, what does this all mean? Like, you know, it's one thing to say it's a new season, but it's here now. It's not coming anymore. I'm thrust right into it. Pastor Richie came up there. I ain't heard from Pastor Richie in almost a decade. And he came up there knowing absolutely nothing about nothing going on in my life and once again nailed it. Something else you said, Jeff. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go. And the reality for me was go to what? You got it? Let me go to what? Because going forward in God is nice, but it needs a direction, needs clarification. Going forward to do what? And then once you get the what, then what's the next question? The when, the where, the how. The how for me is the big one right now. How does this go forward work? And what does it look like? Because I want to plan. I want to make sure the ducks are in a row. I want to keep the things in the order that I know to keep things in. And our Father will say to us, go, move forward, and I'll show you as you move. Take a step of faith, and then I'll supply you with the next step. And we don't like that. We want the laid out plan so we can screw it up a little bit as we go or alter it to fit our present faith. Let me say that again. We want the ability to alter it to fit our present faith. We want it to flow like what we've become used to and accustomed to. We want the move of God to line up with what we're already comfortable with. But moves of God are designed to stretch you into another level of faith, which you presently don't walk in. I'm not saying you don't have it by confession. Are you listening to me? By confession, by conversation, you've claimed it. You got 15 people to agree with you, 3 or 4 to disagree with you. You take the refrigerator with scriptures, or you look them up and you pay them, whatever, all of that. You may have accepted in your heart the faith of what God has called you to, but you haven't had an opportunity to act on it, so therefore it's really not functioning yet. It's more revelatory than reality. So you have a revelation, but it's not reality to you yet. So it's a new baby. It's a new step. So I went before God and I said, okay, what does this look like? So I got home, you know, as I was getting ready to get on the plane yesterday, and it got delayed and delayed and delayed, so I wound up getting home close to 2 in the morning, you know, JetBlue. But, you know, God bless them, there's good prices. Better than Spirit. But my point is, I get here, I come upstairs, come into an apartment, and sit down, and I'm just feeling this sense of, it's almost fear, but it's just this discomfort of life just changed for you as you know it. What is God calling you to do? Now, in the book of Kings, I realized that Solomon had a definite wisdom in calling from God, but he had a flesh motivation and intellect that, with that wisdom, that overrode his correct leadings from time to time. Who understands what I'm talking about right here? Like, you can know enough about what you know about God and how God has worked with you thus far that you become an interruption to what God is doing in this season and time. And what I discovered was, those of us who have some kind of common sense, be it earthly or spiritual, and I believe mine is more spiritual than earthly for the most part, meaning I will trust God apart from everything around me and what I see, and without even knowing what the outcome can be, I have that ability to just say, God, I'll follow you. But even in that, you could get accustomed to what you're used to God doing, to the point that when God is moving a different way, you're still trying to pull his hand to what you're used to him doing. So either way, whether it's over intellectual where you block God out, or it's you walk with God in the spirit, but you're so used to the way God flows, you don't expect him to flow any other way. It still gets in the way of the move of God. And King Solomon had that problem. He prayed to God for all this wisdom and all this insight and all this revelation, but he had this mind that was so keen on the way things should be, he had to find out what else things could be. He had to see if God would follow him where he wanted to go, or he had to try everything out to make sure that everything God said was true. This was the plight of Solomon's life. When God calls you to the next level, I'm going to say this now, I want you to hear me close. It requires you to become an infant again, newborn again, naked, not, don't take that literally here, you might get naked on here, naked in the spirit, naked to your thoughts, really become a child again. And when I'm used to walking, I don't want to have to depend on somebody helping me walk, because I already know what I know. Now, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 11, and just leave it there for a minute, I'm going to talk a little bit more, but then we're going to read some stuff. Because the end plight of a person who's stubborn or unteachable, or have an area of their life that they won't let go of, comes back to bite you. It always does. So we can believe in ourselves that our walk is everything it needs to be, but we refuse to yield in one area, or we become stubborn in one place, and that one place in the end becomes a downfall or a hindrance to the move of God going forward in your life. I'm at the season right now where I'm saying, God, thank you for all the things that I've learned and all the things I've learned to do and how I've learned to obey and how I've learned to grow. But please don't let me become ignorant to the stuff that I've been stuck in or the opinions that I hold so dear to heart that I don't even let you touch them. What a revelation. God, show the house to the house. But my statement goes deeper. When you say God show the house to the house, we mean show me the finished house. Show me with all the beautiful furniture and stuff in it and what I might need to arrange. And God's like, no, no, no. We're going to have to break open some walls and look at the wiring and the plumbing. We're going to have to look at the stuff in the house that you don't usually pay attention to. Can we go check the foundation? I know once a house is built, you don't like to talk about foundation. But the foundation the house is built on determines whether it stands or it falls in a storm. And Jesus gave that. The house built upon a rock. The house that's built with a stable foundation, and when the storms hit and the floods come, and they do. Does the house survive or does the house crumble? Well, a house that's built on sand, and which is opinion and strong belief and attitude and pride, those houses, when rain and the floods, the rain hits and the flood rises and the house crumbles under it, he says, and great is the fall because the foundation is established in something other than his leading or his word. Why would Solomon be called the wisest man ever and his wisdom be so great, yet so much folly kept appearing in his life? I'm glad he gets the title of being the wisest man ever, but I don't want to go out like that. I don't want to go out like he did in chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon defiantly loved many foreign women, the daughters of Pharaohs, women of the Moabites, Amorites, Edomites, Sodomites, and Hittites. They were of the very nations of whom God said to the Israelites, you should not mingle with them, neither shall they mingle with you. For surely they will turn your heads after their gods. Yet Solomon clung to these that he loved. He had 700 wives. I still don't get that. Princess, 300 concubines. And the wives turns his heart away from God. When Solomon was old, his wife turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect, complete and whole with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after, I don't want to go on anymore, let me stop from right here. A man who has a book, stories told about him all through the Bible, used all the time to be defined as the man of God's wisdom and greatness. And in the end, his natural choices turned him away from his God. His human cravings and desires robbed him of his relationship. I want us to understand today that I've been really seeking God about emotion, attitude, opinion, conclusion, and all the things that make me me. But wanting to know from God, will any of those things turn me away from Him in the end? I don't want this ending. I hope you don't want this ending. That's not the ending we want. So what cravings, desires, opinions, religious stands and beliefs, self-righteous attitudes do we have that put us in a place where God says, I can love you. I can call you great. I can call you mine. I can call you wise. And I'll even write good books about you in the end. But the last result of you is you didn't walk with me. You turned after other gods. You turned after other beliefs and other opinions because your desire to be right or your desire to be smarter or your desire to stand in the place that God never called you to stand or walk in an anointing that God never taught you or stand in a place of recognition that God has never called you to be recognized. What is the thing that the sin that easily besets you that your need to be right makes you so wrong? Your need to be strong makes you so freaking weak that God's last book on your life has to be. But in the final chapter, you didn't walk with me. You didn't love me like you used to. You turned after other gods. You had other opinions. I'm prayerful in this season about my life. And I may not be talking about any of y'all, but I'm talking about myself. It is a new level. God has confirmed it in so many ways. But please don't let the calling get greater than the caller. Don't let the things He created become the things you worship over the Creator. The things even He created in you, it don't have to be physical things. Show the house to the house. God, show me the me that I'm okay with and I believe you're okay with. And so I've been before God saying, I don't want my ending like this. I don't want the last words of my life. There's a book that I saw many, many years ago, Fathers of the Faith. It's a big, almost like a cyclopedia, and it's got the name of all these great preachers. And how many of them wound up on drugs, killed themselves. Just this horrible endings after doing such great, 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 great things. The woman who, Benny Hinn, Kumin, her ending was a horrible ending. And you start to look at these people, and I'm like, I don't want my ending like that. I want us to pray for me, for you, for us all, that as we believe in God, opportunities, this year of unlimited opportunities. And God gave me will, but you got to be prepared for opportunities. But He also let me know any opportunities, don't sell me out. Be clear with me. Sometimes you have to slow down your steps when too many doors open and too many opportunities present themselves. You can't just always jump up and down saying, thank you, Jesus. And, you got to stop and say, Lord, is this your opportunity? Or is this a counterfeit? Am I so excited about the opportunity that I'm saying to you, God, I'll take it from here. So I'm sitting in a real solitary place right now because my whole life is shifting in so many ways that you guys wouldn't understand. You may see what it is. You may know what I'm going through and what's happened, but you don't understand what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say emptiness, but it is kind of a vacancy of So I'm starting over? Like I didn't pick that. That wasn't my plan. I didn't come out into the game with that on my mind. But with this opportunity comes the opportunity to turn from the leading. Comes the opportunity to chase after shiny things. Comes the opportunity to put God in a place that he doesn't belong in your life. Comes the opportunity to wind up where Solomon wound up, where your heart is turned from your God, even though you think you're still walking with him. And instead, you're walking with a word he spoke of you 10 years ago that he no longer supports, but you're still holding on to it for dear life because it's what you want. You may not want to have this conversation with me, but come on. Sometimes the words he spoke and the things that have been spoken of you can take the place of God. And it's what he said, what was said now is what you follow and not him anymore. That becomes your idol. That becomes your situation. When I was talking to Pastor Richard, I was talking to him about, you know, what was going on with me in business and going on in life, because I haven't spoke to him in years. And I remember saying to him about this deal and this property that I was considering and the money. And I saw his face, and his face got real somber, and it flashed back. Dude, when you met him, you were homeless. You were trying to figure out what God was going to do in your life. Where are you even going to lay your head that night? And now you're standing here talking seven-figure deals and concepts with him and properties. And I said, wow, I had to be around somebody who was there then, because to see the look on his face, it was kind of like, whoa, this is a different kind of conversation we have right here. Okay? So in the process of prospering and going forward in material stuff, we, my wife and I, lost track of some spiritual stuff. We lost track of that full obedience and full surrender and full focus in the area of walking together as a couple. We lost track. And in that, the enemy was able to come in, set up a nest, find a home, and live there until the place became uninhabitable. And it was no longer fit to live. People don't like to have these kind of conversations. People want to get up on the screen and talk about, well, God had a different plan, and you know, we had to go up. No, we screwed it up. Because somewhere, something got bigger than God. Was it the possessions? Was it the things? Was whatever it was that made it where we couldn't agree anymore on which direction we were going? It's real conversation. It needs to be had in the church. I don't want to wind up like Solomon, with all the wealth and all the opportunity and everything else, but my heart turned from God. And that's my prayer for every one of you up here today. Don't get so caught up in seeking God for the stuff that he provides that you miss God. Don't be so caught up in being successful that you lose sight of what success really is. This is what it's about. I don't care about the stuff at all anymore. I want to know where I'm supposed to be. I want you to know where you're supposed to be. Because in the end, as Solomon said in his final words, vanity, vanity, it's all vanity. All your learning, all of your obtaining, all of your laughter, all of your tears. In the end, seek God, love God, follow God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today humble, searching our hearts and asking you to search our hearts and expose to us our pride, our positions, our stands, our beliefs, our convictions, our whatevers, where we no longer hear you like we used to hear you. Don't let our lives end where we've allowed the blessings or the things that you've given us to turn us away from you. Don't let us get to the place that we become numb and dull to hearing your voice. Let us be surrendered and submitted and cautious. Thank you for your mercy and your grace that you keep us even when we are a fool. Thank you for your love, your care, and direction when you love on us, when we even act unlovely. But we don't want to keep making excuses for not totally surrendering. We want to surrender. And I believe that everybody on here feels the same conviction of heart. Let us, Father God, grow in growing younger and staying a child before you. Let us mature in immaturity. We want to stay sensitive and humble before you. And it is our desire before you that we do. Bless everyone here, everyone who is to hear it later. Let it be clear that as we go into the new seasons and the new times, we don't forget the steadfast God who made it all possible. And we thank you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen and amen. Blessings.